Okay, next case will be Wood versus Wood.
No, we're just witnesses in case.
Are you the plaintiff?
Yes. No, I'm the defendant, but I'm the plaintiff on the counter suit.
Okay, now this is a case that originally was filed by William Cohen, who was not present, against Ruth Fair, asking for a security deposit. And since he's not here, we will not rule in favor of him. And then there was a cross complaint, defendant's claim, by Ruth Fair for $533. Balance of rent due at the end of the lease. And Ms. Stark, I presume you're the landlord, is that
yes.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a written agreement or a lease?
Yes.
Was it a month to month or a?
A year.
A 1 year lease?
1 year.
Let me see that, please. Okay, so now, how do you arrive at the 533 you say that Mr. Cohen owes you?
This was the breakdown of the security deposit.
Let me see that, please. So this original security deposit of $1,875. And then you did some repairs on reinstalling screens?
Right.
Okay. How come it was necessary to do that?
They had removed the screens.
Okay. And then they owed some rent. They were behind in the rent?
They were not behind in the rent. The lease is terminated because of their behavior. They broke one of the conditions of the lease, which was not to disturb the other tenants there.
Okay.
So I had to give them a 3-day notice to leave.
A 3-day notice to?
Quit.
Well, I know, but normally you give them a 3-day notice to perform one of the covenants, such as keep quiet.
They were not able to be quiet.
Okay, so then they left within that 3 days?
No, they left a month later, at the end of June. They paid the rent for June.
Okay.
And they left on July 1st, and there were 2 months left of the lease.
The rent's $1,275.
$1,275.
Now, did you re-rent the premises?
Yes, I did, as of August 28th. So it reduced that $703 to $533.
733? I'm not sure where the 733 comes in.
703 was the balance that they owed me after they moved out.
Right, but there's a credit because you got...
That's correct.
Okay, so you're giving a 3 days credit. And how much is the daily rent?
It was $42.50.
Okay, so how much do you say they now owe you?
$533.
And that's what you put down
that's
in your cross complaint. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that seems... fundamentally fair, and they're not disputing it, so I will grant you your request, and I will hand back your documents.
Thank you very much. How do I get them to pay?
Go to the small claims court office. It has some people here.
Thank you.
There's a small claims advisor that you can ask.
Okay, the next case will be Michael Ringo versus Mary Clinton, who is Builders Interiors.
This, both sides are here? It's contested?
Yeah.
Who's Michael Ringo?
Right here.
Okay, you sit on this side here. Who's the party
introduce your name, Mr. Rindon.
Correct.
You brought an action against Neil Thornton for roughly $700 for labor installing a carpet during last August to September. Okay, and just tell me about how you arrived at this claim.
I was called by here to do the job for him, so I went out and looked at the job.
Okay, you run a carpet business, I presume?
Yes, I'm a licensed contractor.
Okay.
The job was out at UCSB. I would have estimated the job for myself to see if I could take the job for what he wanted to pay for it, and I let him know that I could not do the job. I wouldn't make any money. So upon me telling him that, he offered to pay my employees. He had him fill out W-2 forms, all of them, and he paid him to lessen the burden of payment on me so that I, in turn, would make more money off the job. I agreed to that after about...
Is that a normal procedure?
Not at all. He wanted me to do the job, so he offered to take some of the monetary burden off my back so that I could do it for the agreed amounts that we were going to do it on.
So in other words, your helpers would really be his employees.
That's
for the purpose
correct.
Of this job.
He had them all fill out the proper forms.
So then your cost would be reduced for as far as...
That's correct.
All right.
I went to receive my check, of which we had agreed that he would deduct the amount of the hourly wage that...
Was this agreement in writing or verbally?
Completely verbal. I've been working with him for like 6 years. Upon receiving my check, for about 2.5 weeks of work, approximately between 50 and 70 hours, I was paid $316.51. So I approached him with it, and he handed me this yellow piece of paper here and noted that what the employees made and a 26% less deduction on these two employees, which was the employer contribution. So I had noted to him that he was supposed to pay that. He said, no, you're going to pay it. So I said, that's not as per our agreement. He said, yes, it is. He handed him my check, rolled up his window, and drove off. And he's there to state he saw that and witnessed that.
I don't think it's wrong that he rolled up his window and drove off.
Well, I know, but that was the end of our thing. I tried to contact him, everything. Finally, I contacted my attorney. I'd like to present this letter to you here.
Okay, if I may look at that. And yes, have you shown that to Mr. Colton?
Yes, he has received a copy of that letter.
Lou Ring is an attorney, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Who's
nephew?
Your nephew. And you're with him, your nephew too, then?
That's correct.
Okay. So your uncle then wrote to Builders a letter. That's what I'm reading now.
Yes, sir.
I do emphasize, as I'm reading it, this is not evidence. This is only your story that you
told. That's correct.
Mr. Wendell.
That's correct.
So really the dispute then boils down to this 26%.
That's it, sir.
Okay.
That's the reason why I had him fill out that portion of, or he wanted to write those checks, was so I would save that money, so I would do that job.
Okay.
At the end of the job.
Mr. Colton, I know you're biting at the bit there. You want to say something, so why don't you go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. Pretty much, what I stated is untrue. Did do some work for me out at the college. We did the Anacapa Residential Hall, and this is a 8,000-yard job that we did this summer. It required us to employ five or six crews. Michael was one of them that we used on the job. Michael expressed desire to do the work out there. He expressed he he did not know how to handle the payroll. Most of the contractors here in town that are independents like Michael don't know how to do prevailing wage statements. The college is a state-funded remodel, and on state-funded remodels, we're required to pay prevailing wages that that indicate different levels of agility of the different men working. And so a lot of the crews, like Michael, who have people that work under him around town in regular situations, come to people like me and ask us to do the payroll for them. When we do the payroll for them, we state to them up front that we will pay the payroll, we will make the deductions, and then the employer contribution, which is approximately 26%, over and above the hourly wage, is also deducted from the subcontractor's check.
Now, this 22% item, Social Security, and what else would it include?
That's all you have above that.
You have it. I have a breakdown here of what we paid those men, if you'd like to see that.
Okay. I mean, you got a total of 7.65% employer contributions on the...
That explains it pretty well. There's quite a few deductions, of course.
And the annual unemployment insurance and...
Right. Okay. Workers' compensation, right. FUTA, FICA, et cetera. Now, that's... in any payroll deduction situation, you have the employee contribution, which is deducted from the employee's wages, gross wages, and then you have the employer's contribution, which is over and above that, which the employer has to pay. Now, the agreement that we had made with all of the subcontractors, sitting here, which is testifying for my vendor, also did work for me, and he was treated the same way. We paid him, we took his deductions out, as well as that, and so we did that with everybody.
Okay, well, I want to make sure now. That would be fine if that was the agreement. Now, you say that you explained that to Mr. Ringo?
Yes, sir, before he went to work.
Okay, Mr. Ringo, did you have any conversations?
Absolutely not.
About that?
The reason, and I stress this, and I don't like to waste the court's time, but my total, I agree, whatever he just said right there was true, with withholding and everything.
Right.
That was fine.
It really boils down, what was the discussion, the agreement regarding this?
The discussion, the agreement would be that he would pay everything, so that
did he say everything?
Everything, so that I wouldn't end up making after 50 hours work, which I knew I was going to make when I had to pay my part of an employer contribution. I have my own payroll service. They do all that for me. They're very familiar with all types of payment. This is why I didn't want to take the job to begin with.
I can appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Clinton says he denies it. You said everything, right?
I wouldn't have done it.
You have a different story on what the agreement was.
Right. Kathy here does all the payroll, and she said testified about a conversation that her and Michael had in our office about this very thing, and I'd like
before or after the agreement was entered into?
After the agreement was entered into, he had been on the job for about a week or so, and it was time, I believe, for first or second pay period for his men. He came into the office and had a conversation with Kathy about A, the payroll, and B, this 26% that we're talking about, and she's okay, happy to tell you.
Why don't you please explain the conversation you had with Mr. Reed?
Okay, we were going over the wages for Chris Gooden, who was one of the gentlemen on there, as to how much Chris was to get for the job on an hourly basis. And he had mentioned to me that he was wanting him to get X amount, and I said, okay, if it's X amount to Chris, then plus 26% means I take out this amount from your check. And he goes, oh, well then, no, I don't want him to, you know, take out that much. So we were going back and forth with the figures, and so finally, this is the wage that we came up with, which was $13.50 to Chris, and then to have $17 an hour taken out of his check, And this is the note that I'd written down on that. And then you can see that $13.50 plus 26%, which is $3.51, would actually equal the $17.01, and I said, you know, just the 17 was fine.
So, did you have that conversation?
I had that perfect conversation with her. And that's very true, exactly what you said. But she never told me anything about this 26% that was going to come out of my check.
I was offered me, I had my license contractor also offered me the same situation. And it was my understanding that he was to pay everything, supply the glue, supply and take care of my guys and make the payroll and pay all of the employer's stuff. If you're an employer, you got to pay the stuff. You got to pay all the extra things.
But you don't have any, you can't testify, unless I'm wrong, about the conversation those two had. You weren't there, is that correct?
I know for a fact that he just mentioned that he deducted the same out of my check. He did not. I worked strictly by the yard, and I paid my people.
The agreement he had with you is not relevant to the agreement he had with Mr. Rubin.
Well, I saw the people's checks, and I'm just trying to verify what Mike said. Mr. Cohen was supposed to pay everything.
He approached him with the same?
With the exact same thing. And he did the same thing. He did the same thing with we're all licensed contractors.
I still don't know. That may have been on other cases. The question is, did he do it in this case?
It would be, if I may please you, the whole reason why I'm here is because he took that 26% out that he told me he wasn't going to take. He used it as more or less bait me to do the job and went ahead and withheld it from me without saying a word to it. I had nothing. I was expecting to make about $1,000 on the job.
I understand that.
And when he wrote my check, he wrote my check to me, handed it to me through a window, says that's the way it is, and you know, he totally evaded me. He has to this day evaded me.
Mr. That's beside the point. What I'm trying to, we have to really hone in. What was the agreement? Not how he paid.
The agreement was that,
I don't care if he folded his airplane and sailed it to the air.
He would pay all my employees. That was the agreement.
He disputes that.
Well, I understand that. That's why we're here, Your Honor.
Okay. But you're the plaintiff, and you have the burden of proving your case. That's the problem I have, is you've got to convince me by a preponderance of evidence that what you're saying is true.
Well,
more likely than not. Now, you say one thing, and he says another.
Then when a person fills out or has other employees fill out the W-2 forms and everything, why would I become liable for that contribution when he, in fact, by law, is now employing those employees? He's the employer. I am doing nothing. Isn't there a law that states that fact? When you have people work for you and fill out specific forms to the state?
Tell me again, what was the agreement again? Go through the conversation as you saw it.
The conversation was, if you do this job, I'll go ahead and pay all your employees, and you in turn will be able to make more money.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. That's to the point.
So
and that's
he
it.
In effect said, I will pay your employees.
That's correct. And he did, sir. And then when it came to the employer contribution, without my knowledge or anything until I received this check, he just yanked that right out of my check.
Now, Mr. Cronin, tell me about the conversation you believe happened.
Well, Mike and I, Mike has come to me and said he would do the work out there, but he wanted to do the work on the basis that I pay his men, and I told him about what I said earlier here.
About the 26%?
Yes.
That was mentioned to him.
Oh, yes. Always it was mentioned here on her note of 92, 93, that she wrote down her note that she talked with him. And at every juncture, he was made aware of the contributions were made by the employer. These were his men, and we were doing a service for him under this agreement that he has between us.
It just seemed, from a logical standpoint, I wasn't there, obviously. It seems like if you had said that to him, he would have said, wait a minute, it's not worth it to me.
Correct.
And would you think he would say that?
Yes, I would think he would. Why would he do the work?
So you would trick me into doing it.
Not if he said to
no,
you.
No, but then with my 14 years experience, why would I do that amount of work and knowingly for over 50 hours of work?
I
was going to take him $316
a day. Like buyer's remorse.
Well, that's not. I have 14 years experience in the trade. That's why I turned the job down to begin with without doing any work at all.
Well, I'll tell you, if Mr. Ringo's testimony is correct, he should win. If Mr. Cranford's testimony is correct, then he should prevail.
And I agree with you. But now, the fact remains that I would not have done the work for this amount of money. That's why I turned the job down to begin with. That's why I'm here in the court today, to make the court decide. It shouldn't be legal for guys to do this.
I'm going
to
make, in my mind, a bad decision today. Now, you both seem very truthful and honest. I wasn't there.
But I'm the one that's bearing the burden of this monetary amount.
You're proving it, but
I understand that.
I'm going to award Mr. Wingo $350. Approximately half. Now, Mr. Finkel may not like that. He doesn't like it, then he can go ahead and appeal it across the street to Superior Court, running the risk that you might face the full amount of $704.
I will appeal.
Okay. But I'm going to get it and award Mr. Bingo $350. And neither party is happy. Maybe there's an old saying in court that if both parties are unhappy, the judge made a good decision. So, I'm looking for the plaintiff of three
and
the
roll out
across the $20.30.
Thank you, Your Honor.